It is truly a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day. Amen. To be able to come and to worship God in spirit and in truth. As we come together on this morning, the title of the lesson is What Has to Happen to Get Our Attention? What has to happen to get our attention? I'm not trying to hide anything. If some of you took notes back in 2013, you heard this sermon before. The maybe a couple of things said differently, but the Word of God will always be the same. So what has to happen to get our attention? The examples I'm going to use are examples, again, that I used back in 2013. A car crashing into your home. A car crashing into your home. One Sunday evening, I was laying up on the couch trying to take my afternoon nap before evening service. And I heard this loud crash. I jumped up, had my soft clothes on, ran outside, and two doors down, a car had ran into the home two doors down. It was upside down, or actually on his side. The lady got out. She was all well. But something had to happen to make that car, make that woman crash into that home. Well, not only did it get my attention on that day, but it got others' attention as well, especially the gentleman that lived in that home. Your child being hit by a tree. Your child being hit by a tree. It was a storm, and a little child was outside playing and got hit by a tree. You think it got those parents' attention? You know, we can watch our children all so close, but sometimes things happen out of our control. And those things happen sometime in order to get our attention, and maybe it caused those parents to pay better attention to their children or keep their children closer to them. It was mentioned this morning in Bible class that, you know, we try to watch our children, try to keep them from going out into the road, trying to keep an eye on them. And many times, to keep those things from happening, we need to keep our children closer to us. How about a fire destroying all you have? That ever happened to you, you lost everything except for your life. And it made you think next time you left the house to turn the stove off or to make sure that you have that screen in front of your fireplace, or even better yet, making sure that your fireplace is not burning when you leave. You've lost everything. It would make you think about appreciating what you have. The old saying goes, you never miss your water till the well runs dry. Well, many of you don't know anything about a well. But you don't ever think about paying your water bill till they come and turn it off. How about that? I know many of us can relate to that. Many of us can relate to that. You go home and you walk in and you turn the faucet on. You have to pay the water bill till you turn the faucet on. You don't go check the bill, you just go check the faucet. The water runs. Oh, good. Oh, good. But a fire destroying your home. You think that could get your attention? Just those few things there, a car crashing into your home, or your child being hit by a tree, or a fire destroying all you have. Will those things get your attention? What about a gang jumping on your child? I don't know if any of y'all ever had that happen before. But gangs sometimes, they unmerciful. They would jump on your children. I talked to Chris, you know, when he was in high school, and I come home and Anita's working and I come in the house and Chris is sitting there crying. I said, what's wrong with you? This guy told me he's going to beat me up. Stay in the house. Stay in the house. But when that gang catches your child outside and they jump on him, would that get your attention? Would that make you pay attention to what your children are saying? Will that cause you to go to that school and you know, hey, look, that's my child. You leave my child alone. Will that make you do those type of things? Or go to the local park and you know, keep an eye on your child when he's out playing or things like that? A gang jumping on your child. How about a burglar breaking into your home while you're sleeping? We moved here and we go back and we talk to some people and they say, you know, I was there in the other room and someone walked through my back door and they came in and they took my car keys or they did this. While I was there, they did that. Would that get your attention? Would that cause you to double check those locks? Would that cause you to get up in the middle of the night and when, while you're laying there thinking, did I lock the door? You know, Anita would sometimes say, I heard a noise. I laid her and I said, I didn't hear nothing. And then you wake up the next morning, the door is wide open. Will that get your attention? Sometimes it do, sometimes it don't. Sometimes we still lay there. No one has come into our home. Don't no one ever think that. We live in the best inn. No one has come into our home. But that has happened to some people. People have broken in your homes while people were sleeping. My brother laying there on the couch, sleep. Someone broke into their home. Well, actually, I don't think they had to break in. They just walked in. Invaded his privacy. I called him up, and man, he was just torn up. What's wrong with you? Somebody came in, man. They came in. They took my keys. They came in. They took this TV. They took that TV. They took the car. They finally called him. But it makes you think. Should make you think. What is going to cause us to pay attention to what we're doing? What is going to cause us to pay attention? A loved one dying unexpectedly. Now, when we are prepared for someone to die, it is sometimes easy to pain. But someone dying unexpectedly. Man, I didn't think that would ever happen to a child. To a baby or to a kid to just die unexpectedly or to a man. You know, he left home this morning going to work and never returned back to be found in his automobile dead. You know what that does to a family? It tears them apart. It tears them up inside. It makes them sometimes want to question God. God, why me? But you know what has happened? With all these things right here, you know what has happened? The attention of someone has been gotten. Someone is now focusing on not just what they're doing on a daily basis, but focus on what God wants them to do. And that's very well what should happen. We should be focused on what God wants us to do. And when we're not doing it, we need to change. You say, none of those things have ever happened to you. Well, how about this one? No, this has never happened to any of us. But how about being swallowed by a great fish? If that happened to you, Malachi, you think that would get your attention? If you're out there, you know, roaring around in a little rowboat and all of a sudden that boat is tipped over and a great fish swallow you up, would that get your attention? Who would you holler for? Can you swim, Mark? Ha! Don't holler for your daddy. He can't save you. What is it going to cause to get our attention? Being swallowed by a great fish. You know, Jonah, we read there in the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1 through 6, Jonah was told what to do by the Lord, but Jonah chose to do something totally different. The word of the Lord must be taken serious. That's what we need to think about. When God tells us to do something, we need to not hesitate, but we need to get up and do it. Unless you want your attention gotten, you must didn't hear what I said. Have your parent ever told you that? Your mom, your dad, your grandma, your grandpa, your uncle, your aunt, your sister, your brother ever told you? You didn't hear what I said. Let me show you what I said. Now, what you're doing, I'm not hearing anything. No words are coming out of your mouth. Action. That's what we're looking at. And when mom and dad tell you they fit to get your attention, you can rest assured your attention is going to be gotten. Jonah, running from the Lord, his attention was gotten. Because we need to understand again that God is very serious about what he says. No matter how dangerous the journey, we must go and tell the truth to the world. We must not think about, Lord, what am I going to do? You're sending me into an area where these people are very sinful, but yet you want me to go there and tell them what they need to do. Again, the streets we walk, the people we come in contact with, we have no idea what those people are thinking. We have no idea what we're going to encounter out on those streets. But yet, when we say that we're working for the Lord, we need not worry about those things. Amen. We just need to do what we're supposed to do. And there is no acceptable excuse. No acceptable excuse. We can all make an excuse why we're not doing what God wants us to do. Too busy. Have to work. My kids need me. My wife need me. My husband need me. I'm going out of town. You know, I just don't have time to do anything for you, Lord. What? You don't have any time to do anything for the Lord? You don't want to do what the Lord says? He says, go, teach, baptize, and continue to teach. Don't have time. Why not? Well, you know, let somebody else do it. Let you know, that's not my responsibility. Whose responsibility is it? We should not wonder if the ones we preach to will accept it or not. See, a lot of times we are taking up our own. They're not going to listen. So why talk to them? Have you talked to them at least one time? How do you know they're not going to listen? It's just because they didn't hear what this man says doesn't mean they're going to hear what you want to say or what you have to say, especially when it's coming from God's word. Give each one an opportunity to fend for themselves. To prove to you or prove to God that they will hear His word. Let's do those things. What happens when we disobey? What happens when we disobey? How many times have we looked at our lives and we said, you know, this has happened because I didn't obey, or this happened to me because I didn't obey. You know, we have some battle scars. And we wasn't fighting. The battle scars I'm talking about is marks that maybe mom, dad left on you because you didn't do what you were supposed to. And that mark will always remind you of how disobedient you was. You know, I have a scar up under my eye. No, my mom and my dad didn't do it. My brother did it. I was riding my brother's bicycle and he chased me down. And when he caught up with me, he gave me one. Pow! Right up under the eye. I was riding a bike. Now check this out. I was riding a bicycle that he stole. And I'm the one that got beat up. Can you imagine that? Do you think that did not get my attention? Yes, leave his stuff alone. Although it don't belong to him, leave it alone. Because the other person who the bike belonged to very well could have caught up with me. And it might not have been just a hit up under the eye. It could have been worse. But we need something sometime to get our attention, that we may do the things that are right. Are we caught in the storm? We caught in the storm. You know, a lot of times we are in a storm and we don't really realize that we're there. Or when we realize we're there, we're wondering, how can I get out of this storm? You know, sometimes we need to say, I need to be in the storm. And I need to be in the storm because I have not done what I was supposed to do. Or we need to be in the storm in order for us to learn a lesson that is there for us. And if we don't learn, well, we're going to remain there in that storm. Are we thrown overboard? Are we thrown overboard? Now, I'm pointing out Jonah to y'all right here, but we need to ask ourselves, have we been thrown overboard? Have someone kicked us to the side and said, you know, it's because of you that these things are happening, not just to you, but they're also affecting me as well. And they throw you overboard. And they throw you overboard, not just because they want to. They throw you overboard because you're telling them, it's me. I'm the problem. I'm why you're having the problems that you're having. You know, you're working for a company and the company is not doing so well they're not making any profit. And the reason they're not making any profit is because you're skimming off the top and the bottom. And finally you tell them, it's because of me that you're not making anything. Get rid of me. No, we like you. Although we're not making anything, we like you. No, get rid of them. Get rid of them. We have to realize sometime that when people tell us that they are the problem, we need to do something about it in order for us to have peace in our lives. Are we swallowed by life's demands? Are we swallowed by life's demands? You know, when something that we're supposed to do, or are we overwhelmed by these things? Or have these things overtaken us and it makes us realize that I need to be looking toward God. I need to be looking toward the heavens. I need to be praying to Him. I need to be talking to Him. And I need some comfort. I need some direction. I need to do what I was told to do in the very beginning. We turn to God for help. We turn to God for help. The psalmist says, I look toward the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. Have we turned to Him? You know, we're down and out now. We don't have anywhere else to go but to God. Are we willing to do that? You know, we have some people that say, I don't need Him. I haven't had Him here. I don't need Him there. You're right. Keep thinking that way. And watch what happens in the very end. So we need to turn to Him. That's the bottom line. We need to turn to God. And once we turn to Him, do we get the same message as before? You do what I told you to do, and everything will be okay. That's the message. The message is plain. The message is clear. When God says go, we need to go. You heard it. You know, when someone tells you to jump, you don't ask how high. You don't ask why. You just ask how high. And you just jump. You know, drill sergeant used to tell us, you do push-ups until I get tired. I'm doing the push-ups. You'll never get tired. That's the point. You're going to learn to listen to me. That's what they were trying to get across. You're going to learn. It would behoove you to pay attention, is what he would say. And some of y'all might have had female drill sergeants. But my drill sergeant, he was all man. And when he said do something, we did it. When he said ignore the other drill sergeant, we ignored the other drill sergeant. Had to pay a price, but we ignored him. We get the same message. The message from God's word to do the things that are right. What happens once again when we disobey? Jonah chapter 1 verse 1 through 6. The bottom part says, but the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest of the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. What happens when we disobey? God causes something to get our attention. This ship being tossed. This ship being, you know, thrown back and forth as though it would break up. Do you think that these men were not paying attention to what was happening? Yes, they were paying attention. But what about old Jonah? Was Jonah paying attention? Jonah was at ease. Jonah, the Bible tells us, was sleeping when these things began to happen. He was on his way away from the direction in which God wanted him to go. You know, the men, they knew that something wasn't right. Do we recognize today when something is not right? You walk into your house and you say, something is not right. Did I leave that light on? Or you, before you walk in, you get ready to open the door and the door is not locked, you know? Did I leave that door unlocked? A lot of times we're not aware of what's going on in our surroundings, so therefore we don't remember or we can't recall. But these men knew that something was not right with the ship, with the storm coming in. They knew that something was not right. They knew the forecast, I suppose. They knew that there wasn't not supposed to be a storm on that day. But the thing is, these men in the very beginning, they did not pray to God. They talked to their God. And again, we've been studying in the book of Isaiah. We know that their God wasn't going to answer them. Because their God was nothing. But the storm was still there. Let us remember that the storm was still there. And we find in verses 15 through 17, let's read that. Verses 15 through 17, chapter 1, the book of Jonah. The Bible says, as Jonah pointed to him, it's because of me. And he says, so they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea. And the sea ceased from his raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Now they didn't pray to their God. They didn't offer sacrifices to their God because their God didn't hear them. Going back up a little bit to verse 14. Therefore they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us this innocent blood for you. O Lord, have done as you please. O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they threw Jonah overboard, then made a sacrifice unto the Lord. What happens when we are thrown overboard? What happens when we get rid of that person that has done something in order to cause pain to us or to cause a storm to come into our lives? And then that person is removed. What do we do? Do we go to God and continue to ask Him for things? Lord, you know, give me something else, Lord. I see what you've done here. Give me something else. No, let's thank God. Let's thank God. That's what they did there. They offered up sacrifices unto God and made vows. What were those vows? I have no idea. But, you know, I could think that it was something on these lines. Lord, since you are so powerful to cause a storm to come in the midst of our lives out of nowhere, and then to cause that same storm to be eased, Lord, we're going to serve you. That's a vow. Lord, we're going to do what is right in your eyes. We're going to continue to make sacrifices unto you. Do that remind you of those people that are laying in the hospital beds that are sick? And Lord, if you let me get well, I'm going to serve you. I don't know how long these men served God after this happened, but I know that those people, when God allowed them to get better, many do not do what they said they were going to do. They break those vows. But it's not about these men right here. It is about Jonah. It's about what Jonah was supposed to do. And it's about what Jonah did or Jonah did not do. And it's because of what God did in order to get the attention of Jonah. Verse 17, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. In the belly of a fish. Now, you have seen cartoons. You've seen how it talk about these fish swallowing up all of this stuff and all the stuff that's in their belly. Can you imagine Jonah in the belly of that whale or that great fish, shall I say? And let me say why I'm saying what I'm saying. Or why I said what I said, and I laughed about it, and Brother Brian laughed. Now you can cut the belly of some fish open and you can see all they have eaten. And sometimes, you know, those even the sharks, the great sharks out there, you know, we need to see, is that child in there? Let's cut him open and see. Well, that didn't happen with Jonah. The fish wasn't cut open to see what was there. Jonah was there. The Bible tells us he was there. And as he was there, the Bible tells us that Jonah cried out of the belly of the fish. In chapter 2, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I cried out to the Lord out of distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and he heard my voice. One translation says, out of the belly of this fish I cried. Out of the depths of hell I cried. The belly of hell I cried, and you heard my voice. See, sometimes we get ourselves into situations and we are found to be in places where we think that there is no return, and the only thing we can do is call out to God. Call out to Him. And as we're calling out to Him, we need to remember what we did not do. That's the thing. Jonah praying in the deep. My life was fading away. I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into the holy temple. I cried to you, Lord. Jonah didn't forget who God was. Not for one moment did Jonah forget who God was. He remembered who God was. He knew why the storm was there. He knew even in the belly of this great fish that he could talk to God. He knew this. Do we realize this today? Do we realize that, yes, God wants us to talk to him all the time, but he allows us and he still wants us to talk to him when we get ourselves in trouble? God is waiting to hear from us. There are many of us that are in trouble. We have been cast overboard and God is waiting to hear from us. Lord, it's me. Y'all ever heard that song? It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my father, but it's me, oh Lord. We need to say, it's me, Lord. I know you haven't heard from me in a while, but it's me and I need you. I have not done what you told me to do. I need you. I'm willing to do what is right. I'm willing to recognize my faults. I'm willing to confess them unto you. Lord, it's me. And you know, the difference in calling on the Lord at the moment that you realize that you're in sin, and the moment to try to call on him at death when it's too late. He can answer your prayer and he will answer your prayer when you call upon him while you have breath to live. But when it's too late, when you're standing there trying to get in, he say, I don't know you. I don't know you. You remember, and he don't have to tell you, but you're going to. You remember when I told you to go and teach those people and you didn't do it? You know, we sing that song, you never mentioned him to me before. Now you know that person standing next to you that you never mentioned to before? Someone else did. They're getting in, but you're not. I don't know you. Is that not going to be a sad situation on that day? Let's continue with verse 3. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet shall I look again upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head and roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought me. You brought up my life from the pit. Oh Lord, my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord and my prayer came to you into the holy temple. My prayer came up to you. I remembered. I know who you are. I know what you can do. I know what you have done. I need to continue to talk to you. You're the only one that can deliver me. That's what it's all about. God getting our attention because of something happening in our lives. And we realize once again that he is God. Let us never ever forget that. Preaching the word of God causes results. If God tells us to do it, he's telling us to do it for a reason. When he says preach to every nation, that means that everybody somewhere upon those nations will hear the word of God. All races of people will hear the word of God, and some will respond in a positive manner. Others, they don't care. They don't care. But it's not for us to say that he will never, ever obey the gospel. It is not for us to say, I'm not going to waste my breath talking to him about God's word. All we're supposed to do is do what God says and allow him to give the increase. Jonah chapter 3, verse 5. Jonah chapter 3, verse 5. That Jonah was told to go and to preach. Again, Jonah went the opposite direction. Jonah prayed to God, and God allowed that fish. The Bible tells us the last part, the last verse in chapter 2. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon dry land. That's nasty, isn't it? But you know what, Jonah, you didn't hear Jonah complaining now. You didn't hear Jonah, you know, saying, Lord, I'm not going to do what you said now. Change of heart. Change of attitude. The Bible says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. saying in verse 1 of chapter 3, verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. Jonah, nothing has changed. I'm still God. My word is still the same. The message that you need to be preached is still the same. So Jonah rose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey. A day's journey. And he called out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Can you imagine this man walking through the city? A 3 days' journey, the Bible says. But one day, as he continues to go through shouting, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. The message that Jonah was preaching was the message that God gave him. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Can you imagine walking up and down Broadway saying, one day the Lord is coming back. One day the Lord is coming back, taking vengeance upon those that know not the Lord. Can you imagine how many people will call you crazy? Can you imagine how many people are going to call the law on you and say, this man's been walking up and down Broadway all day and all night, saying the same thing over and over. He must be out of his mind. But you know what happened as Jonah was preaching this message? The Bible says in verse 5, and the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and to put on sackcloth. From the greatest of them to the least of them. If this would happen in the city of Louisville, how great would that be? That if we would stop being afraid to say that the Lord is going to return, taking vengeance upon those that know not Him. How great would it be for us not to be afraid to contend earnestly for the faith? How great would it be? You said, Brother Melvin, we don't have to worry about a great fish swallowing us up. You're right. You don't have to worry about that. But what you have to worry about is those that do not proclaim the word of God. You have to worry about being cast not into the sea, but into the lake that burns with fire, where your words will not be heard by God to deliver you as they were with Jonah. See, we have something to worry about. The word of God will never change. We are told to go. We need to go. What is it going to take to get our attention? What is it going to take? The Bible says, as we continue to read there with verse 6, Jonah chapter 3, the word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh. By decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows, God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. Who knows? Who knows? Nobody knows but God. If we would do what we're supposed to, God would keep his word unto us. Why? Because doing right pleases God. Amen. Pleases him. Jonah 3:10. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. He did not do it. Only a day. 3 days' journey, but only a day, the message we got to the king, and the king said, we need to change. We need to change. What is going to cause people to change today? What is going to cause to get their attention? You know, we can look around at all the things that are happening here in the city of Louisville, but how many have turned to God? How many have turned to God? See, we need more people to preach the word. We need more people to tell people about the love of God, that he sent his only begotten son to die for the sins of the world, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We need more people doing right. Pleases God. It pleases him. It pleases him to the point to not to destroy us. It pleases him to the point to allow us to have salvation if we would believe in his word, if we would be faithful until the very end. Right? What does it mean to believe in his word? The Bible tells us that, you know, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. What is going to happen in the end? If you are faithful to the very end, you will receive a crown of life. But there's a lot we need to do in the middle, isn't it? There's a lot that we need to do. We need to continue to preach to people. We need to continue to teach people. We ourselves need to continue to live faithfully. Attend worship service. Lead worship service. Continue to have your mind on Jesus. Continue to have your mind on the Word. Continue to tell others about the love that God has had and the love that God has shown. Let's continue to do those things. Live pleasingly unto him. Whatever you do, in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God and you want to become one, do not put off. Do not wait until tomorrow, for tomorrow is not ours. It's not promised to us. Your life is but a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanished away. Let's get our lives in order. Let's come and make that confession that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Those of you that have never come before, come on this day. Be baptized for the remission of your sins, rising out of that watery grave to walk a newness of life. Maybe you're here and you're straight away from the fold. We're asking you to come back. We're begging you to come back. We're pleading with you to come back. God is long-suffering towards you. He wants you to come back. Do so. Come and confess your faults. Come and repent of your sins and allow the congregation to pray for you that you may be strengthened. If you're here in your subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.